Is this going to be the last time that I'm talking to you on this Bucks Kickoff podcast that it really matters? If the Buccaneers lose, forget about it. Forget about it. But you know what? It'll always matter, because then it will be, oh, are we going to see Kyle Trask? Oh, is Todd Bowles going to be losing his job? What assistant coaches will lose? You know what? Let's not go past there. They still have a chance at the NFC South. Can you believe it? What kind of division is this? What kind of season is this? But I'm going to give it to you. Highs and lows. How are you? I'm Rock Riley. This is Bucks Kickoff Podcast. Only place. JoeBucksFan.com. The biggest, baddest, badass informational website with some humor that you and sarcasm that you can't get anywhere else in the world. JoeBucksFan.com. Bucks Kickoff Podcast. This podcast today, let me tell you about Joe Bucks Fan discount available at Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, it's exclusive only to Bill Curry Ford customers. You know what they're doing? They've extended it. It started out with the Black Friday deals, and it's been extended now all the way through this year. 0% financing offers that are nearly impossible to find. 0% financing for 72 months on new 2023 Ford F-150s. The great thing about Bill Curry Ford is they have a nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Located just a half mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. Sean Sullivan, GM, he's the guy you got to see. He personally will help you on new and used vehicles, all of your automotive needs. You can email him, go to BillCurryFord.com. You can call or stop in. Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. They got the Joe Bucks Fan discount, Ira Kaufman discount, and 0% financing, 72 months on new 2023 Ford F-150s. Go there now. All right, where I'm going to go is, where I have been, is at One Buck Place. I was there during the week. I was there for practices. I was in the locker room. I was there in the media room. I was there talking to staff members. And here you go. Here's the deal. Bucks and Falcons. Falcons are 6-6. Buccaneers are 5-7. The NFC South, believe it or not, is still up for grabs. Now, if the Falcons win this game, they will sweep the Bucks. They would get another tiebreaker in the NFC South. And Atlanta is going for their third win in a row. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, oh my God, fighting for their playoff lives. There's the controversy surrounding Chris Godwin, his wife, Todd Bowles, offensive coordinator, Dave Canales. I will get into that. But right now, let me give you all the facts and figures. Falcons are favored by 2.5. This game, obviously, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. The over-under is 39. Most expecting it's not going to be a high-scoring game. The Falcons did beat the Bucs in Week 7. Went down to the last play. Buccaneers lose on a field goal by Koo, 16-13. A lot has changed, though. You know, I remember Brad Johnson, I always say it. He said, I can't even, in the NFL, you can't even go really sometimes by what a team just did the previous week. But that was in Week 7. The Falcons' defense is getting better. Falcons D, 10th in the NFL. They forced 4 fumbles last week in that 13-8 win over the Jets. And the Falcons are also 4-2 at home. Something to think about. Now, when Baker Mayfield talked to us on Wednesday, he says that he thinks the Buccaneers offense is a lot better now than they were in Week 7. And why was that? And he says, well, it's the offensive line, basically, and all of us are pretty much on the same page. And you don't have to try to be play superhero. I'm just paraphrasing. And he actually said at the end, just do your job. Do your job. That was from Baker Mayfield. Ryan Neal, and I'll tell you flat out, we talked to him on Wednesday, and it kind of like set me back, and it hit me into reality. You know, because I'm there all the time, and you just, when you're covering a team, you just don't expect the season to end, because on the schedule, it's not over. And he said, well, we win, we continue to play, we got a shot, we lose, we're done. And he repeated himself. He goes, we lose, we're done. And it was like, wow, like the season is over. You start preparing for the future then if they lose this game. Now, I know they won't be mathematically eliminated. They would have to pretty much win out. They got to have the Falcons be losing. I mean, the chances, they lose, they're done. They lose, they're done. And that's what the players were telling us in the locker room on Wednesday and Thursday. So that must be coming from Todd Bowles. So at least being honest, like there's no more. There's no. And even with follow-up questions, I noticed, you know, there's no more wiggle room, this and that. And everyone eye to eye is like, no, there isn't. There isn't. There really is not. If the Buccaneers lose, will they go to Kyle Trask? I tried to get information on that this week. Like, would somebody come on the record and say that? Nobody would. I think what it is it's all in for this game. They're not going to talk about past this game. I know that there have been, there was an on-air host who's on the Buccaneer Radio Network, co-host, and he came out, Pat, and said that his source said that had they lost last week, we were going to see Kyle Trask this week. If they lose this week, we'll see. Most likely, maybe, but I didn't get anything definitive. Nobody was able to really just tell me that. Even if it was like off the record, they just wouldn't say. So I would think you lose, you're going to really start looking ahead now. But anyway, let's concentrate on this game. Desmond Ridder, quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. Not a great game last week. He only had 44% completion rate, 121 yards through the air, one touchdown. He was also sacked 3 times, but he did not cough it up, and he has been known to do that. He has been very, very inconsistent. He was decent against the Buccaneers back when they played on week 7. So that's the deal with Ridder. Ridder is kind of like a Mayfield, up and down. Lately, Atlanta, in their last 2 wins, are averaging 18.5 points a game. And the defense for the Falcons in these last 2 wins, only allowing 11.5 points a game. So I don't care what you say, oh, it's only the Jets. Oh, this and that, this and that. They're playing pretty decent. They're playing decent. Oh, those that are definitely out for this game, if you didn't hear. For the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, linebacker Devin White, he's out again. Cornerback Jamel Dean is out. And Vita Vea is questionable. Levante questionable. Levante's going to go. He was out practicing, even though it was walkthrough. Oh, my God. Anyway, Vita Vea just can't stay healthy. Vita Vea is just, I mean, you can't make the club when you're in the tub. You know, that's the old saying. He's always hurt. But anyway, he is questionable. On the Atlanta Falcons side, now, for most of the year, the Atlanta Falcons have been healthy. They're banged up pretty badly right now. Their injury list is big. There's a couple of key starters that are definitely out. The tackle, Caleb McGarry. Linebacker Nate Landman out, and the big one, defensive tackle David Onyemata, he is out. That's huge. Cornerback AJ Terrell is questionable. And I found an interesting stat. I got to give you, besides behind the scenes, I got to hit you up with some stats. This is true. Believe it or not, these two teams, the Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons, they have played each other 60 times. Each team has won exactly 30 times. How about that? It has been dead, even. All right, what I do here is something different. Under the rock, what have I seen being inside and on the field at $1? Wednesday, when we showed up, very low-key, another walkthrough. And then a couple of the players were kind of admitting to us, it's now called Walkthrough Wednesday under Bowles. They don't practice. They basically just walk through on Wednesday, and then they'll have a practice on Thursday. They've got a health and conditioning and strengthening, and they go through all this science and figure out that the body. Tristan Wirfs put it best. He goes, well, what about Walkthrough Wednesday? He goes, no, it really helps. It's one less day. You're putting your body through. And you know what he said? He goes, at this time of year, It's basically who's healthier. That's how you get the edge. It's not so much in at learning moves, you know, extra film work on this guy. Who's healthier? If you're going up against a guy that's really banged up this late in the season, man, you got a huge advantage. That's really good. So the Falcons are dinged up. They're probably the most dinged up they've been all year. Lavonte David, and it was strange. I wasn't able to get a clarification. There had to be a reason. On Wednesday when we got there, they were outside, but again, it was a walkthrough. And with the D-line, I've never seen this all year. Lavonte David was taking reps with the defensive line. He was coming up. He was going over the, like, when his two guys there, they come up and the other guys are behind him and over. It wasn't like he was just standing there watching. That was strange. And then finally Shaquille Barrett came out because he's an outside linebacker and he came and he went over there. But then they blew the whistle and then we're not allowed to watch. We watched for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And then on the far, 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 farthest distance from us, you had to get your binoculars out. Baker Mayfield was taking reps with the offensive line. And there was a couple of times where he was in a three-point stance. I don't know. I'm just telling you what we've seen. I saw it with my own two eyes. And Kyle Trask was in the middle of the field. He was throwing. And even when he's throwing to these coaches, he's throwing a little bit more zip. I don't know if you saw the video, but last week he raced Canales to the next field. Like, they must have told him, like, your time is coming. I can just see he's got like more of a hop in his step at practice. Even when he's warming up, he's throwing it with a little bit more zip. Or maybe he's ready to go. He's ready to go. When we got in Thursday, though, to the locker room, it was a lot more upbeat. They had the music blasting, the big speaker, Kalijah Kancey and Yaya Diaby right at their locker, the young guys dancing. There was the big card game going on. I didn't see any chess. I think they might be done with that. But just pretty much upbeat. And what I have learned is over so many years of covering NFL teams, when you get to this point in the season, you're going through the motions. They're creatures of habit. They have it up. It's digital now. In a monitor, it used to be up on a big whiteboard and it would say lifting 6 a.m. to say 8 a.m. Breakfast is open 7 a.m. Meetings 10 a.m. to this, on the field at 11:30 to this. Everything is laid out. Everything is told them exactly what they do. They do pretty much the same thing at the same times. So it looks to me and to other reporters, when you're in there, everything's like business as usual. And I know that there was a couple of questions this week to both coaches and players. Like, do you realize that this is it? Like, this is it. Your season is over. If you lose, there is no wiggle room. And everybody that did answer was like, yes, we know. No, we know. We know. But you just don't get that feeling. You know what I mean? It feels like it's business as usual, but that's somewhat normal. I've come to the conclusion now of all of these years in NFL, you just worry about today. And Tristan Wirfs put it best. What about the magnitude, Tristan? This you cannot afford another loss. And he said, no, we know, but we also don't want to put more pressure on us. Don't treat this game like it's bigger than anything else. I'm just telling you what Tristan Wirfs said. That's what he said. You don't want to get in that headspace, that mind game. So that was that. That was about it. I really haven't seen Jason Light at these practices lately. He came out quickly and went in. But just when I was looking out this week, and it was kind of hit me after Ryan Neal said that real matter of fact, we lose, we're done. We lose, we're done. It was like, wow, like Tom Moore, he's an assistant. He's offensive consultant, 85 years old. And he did my other podcast, The Rock Stops Here, and he said, you don't understand unless you're my age to be able to go to a job that you love, to still go and be around young people. You won't understand it until you're my age. Like most people, 85, they're done. If they're still in decent health, they don't know what else to do. Days are long. And I was like, is he going to be around? You know, Bowles, like, look at some of these coaches, you know, they're going to uproot families if it's done, if it's over, you know? And, but I guess you can't be too concerned about it. You're going to, or you will definitely lose this game. All right, let me get into some, you know what, before I get more deep into this game, because at this point, you know, don't turn it over, get to the quarterback, protect the quarterback, run the football. You know, it's all pretty much the same thing every week, but I got to get into the Chris Godwin story. I was shocked when I saw the on X, but it was from Instagram, Mariah Godwin calling Bowles a liar. I don't know what your coaching deal is. Da da da. It's infuriating and this and that, ripping Bowles from Godwin's wife. I was in shock. Chris Godwin, I've never heard him complain, bitch, moan, all of the rehab that he did every day, the drudgery of it, got himself in shape, not getting targets, publicly has never said anything. But a lot of times, man, a wife, you know, they know what's going on. And, you know, did she do this without her husband's knowledge and actually to call Bowles a liar and all this? So I was actually shocked. I was also shocked because I was doing an over-under with some of the reporters. What are the chances Godwin's going to talk? Not. He came out after this happened. This all happened on a Wednesday late after we were all gone when she went to Instagram. And when we got there Thursday, Godwin had a scheduled day off. So he wasn't practicing. It wasn't like that he was too injured to practice. It was a veteran scheduled day off. So the fact that he wasn't practicing and all that, I was like, there's no way he's going to talk. But he did. And I saw it. I saw the PR person talking to him, bringing him over. And he came over and he answered every question. And then he gave a fist bump to the PR as he left the scrum. And it was a stand-up move by Godwin. And because sometimes when you don't say anything, sometimes then the speculation runs rampant and it goes crazy. You know how it goes with social media. Just real quickly, and it is somewhat of a distraction because it's Godwin. It would be like Evans. The stars and the guys that are so respected on this team, Evans, Godwin, Lavonte David, right there. Those are my top three. Antoine Winfield, 4. Okay, and but they respect Mayfield. Guys like Mayfield, but Mayfield's only just been here, and he's still, the jury's out on whether or not he's going to be here next year. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, if you missed it, Bowles on Monday was asked, hey, he didn't get any catches. It broke a streak, and he was only targeted, you know, this. And Bowles said basically they were subbing Godwin out more than usual because he was nicked up, he was banged up. And, well, it turns out that he played last week against the Panthers a half snap less than his season average of 52 and a half snaps a game. So he's averaging 52 and a half snaps a game, and he played 52. So it wasn't like he was subbing in and out. And then Mariah, his wife, took to social media, Instagram, and said, quote, I'm not sure why we are blatantly lying here. Regardless of how banged up Chris is, he continues to work his ass off. He hasn't missed a game, continues to run great routes and get open. I don't know why things are the way they are. This isn't my team to coach, but this lying on Chris, implying negativity on his work ethic, is infuriating. Let's not act like he had to be subbed out so much more than usual when in fact he's playing just the same. And that was her Twitter and tweet. So when he came over, what happened was, so we talked to Canales before we talked to Godwin, the same day, but you talk to the coordinator in the media room at the podium, and then you go in the locker room. And so there were some questions about Godwin and how to be used, and he's going to try to use him more. And he did say, Canales did say, he's like, the one thing that I don't want to do is just in my head or have Baker now go overboard and trying to make sure we're getting Godwin the ball when if he's, we got to let the offense come to the defensive alignment, like come to us. You know what I mean? And I can understand that. Okay. So that's understandable. But he was like, I got to get him the ball more, especially in the red zone. This, that, I know that. That was Canales. But that was it. And then it went on to other stuff. And I'm like, I got to ask him. It's the elephant in the room. And I said, Dave, with his wife going to social media and ripping the head coach, I wanted to know, have you, you know, talked to Chris, and is he on board, you know, with this? And then he admitted, we just had a sit down meeting here before they came out to the press conference, and we let both of our frustrations out, and we cleared the air, and we were fine. I'm like, oh, okay. So they did actually sit down. It's obvious, you know, this goes viral. The Bucks honestly were relevant for 24 to 48 hours with this stuff. And then when Godwin came over, he did make it clear. He really did. He basically said there was no malice by Bowles. There was nothing that he said to really put Godwin in a bad light, negative light. You know what I mean? He wasn't questioning his work ethic. He really wasn't. And I'm paraphrasing, but he actually said that. And we're fine. We're fine. He said, he's fine with Canales. And he thinks that this will be better for the team going forward. Now, that's what he said. So despite all of this, if it's going to be better now, they're better off for the team. All right, let's see. Let's see in this game. Let's see. Let's see. His production, though, has gone down. Even though he's getting the same amount of snaps and he's out there. But in 2019, his numbers have gone down. He has, like, he's not in the same offense that Bruce Arians had and the GOAT had. So it's different. He's not, you know, sometimes in the slot and he's not, and this and that. And that may be somewhat of a factor. He was asked that in the scrum, in the locker room, and even said, it's a good question. But I really don't think so. But I will tell you this, and I got some of these stats. I got them from Almond. I didn't realize he has his best games, Godwin, against the Falcons. 2019 against Atlanta, 184 yards and 2 touchdowns. 2021 against Atlanta, 15 catches, 143 yards. 3 of his top 6 games, yardage-wise, are against the Falcons. 3 of his 5 career multi-touchdown games are against the Falcons. So, I mean, so here we go. We'll see if that did anything, because it certainly caused a shakeup. He broke his streak of 67 games with at least one catch. That went all the way back to 2018. How about that? And then last but not least, on Friday, Bowles was asked, hey, how are you and Godwin? And Bowles said, we're great. We've been great. There's nothing else to talk about. In other words, stop asking me. Stop bringing it up. So there you go. So that's, and then I asked him, like, how are you with Canales? And he went on that. And then Jenna Lane from ESPN asked me, whispered, like, anybody asking about the wife? Because she had just come in. I said, no, they hadn't. I was going to ask that. So she kind of put it in the words of family members. It must be hard on family members when you're struggling or you're injured or you're not getting the ball and they know, but yeah. And Godwin basically said, like, she's my dog. She's my person. So she sees everything. They'd been high school sweethearts, if that means anything. I don't really care. But just, they've been together that long. Her father was a high school football coach. And I do remember when he was coming to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the high school, his girlfriends at the time, I don't know if they were married, but the father, the high school football coach, said he wished, like, he had a son like Godwin, or you want somebody like Godwin to date your daughter. Like, he's that much of a stand-up guy. And Godwin said, She's my dog. She's my person. She sees everything. And she was just trying to have my back. And it's frustrating for them because they don't control anything. Like, I can go out there and work out. I can run my routes better. You know, I can do this and that. They can't do anything about it. So it gets frustrating. So there's something to it. There's always more. Where there's smoke, there's fire. But it definitely shook up the organization, because that was surprising coming from Godwin or Godwin's family. And Bowles is not, he's pleading the fifth. And Canales is admitting they had a sit down. They aired their frustrations. And Mayfield is trying to just keep his gig. So here you go. All right, let me get into this a little bit more. All right. And then, I don't want to go too long on this. All right. So the last time the Buccaneers played Atlanta, the Buccaneers only rushed 73 yards. And Baker Mayfield had 32. Their rushing attack was horrible at that time. They have gotten a lot better on that. The Bucs' run game, 2 weeks ago, season high, 125 yards, averaging 6.6 yards per carry. Last week, they went for 128, 4.6 yards per carry. Baker was asked, why? Why are you able to run the football? Why are you guys starting to run football a little bit better? He believes it's the O-line being on the same page, understanding the system. Rashad White now understanding defenses, tight ends, and the receivers doing their job blocking. Canales was saying that Rashad is taking advantage of blocking schemes. He's a special athlete in space, but he's learning. He's learning. He's watching. He's learning. He's seeing. He's seeing what the scheme is. He's knowing where it is. Again, it comes with time, okay? Big game for Baker. Big game for Desmond Ridder. It really is a big game for both, because Baker Mayfield is on a one-year deal. He's being paid $4 million, very low for a starting quarterback. He wants to be here. He went to the Lightning game again with his wife. He's loving it, man. He's loving it. But I'm just telling you the truth. The jury is out. So he's got a lot riding on this game. And Desmond Ridder, same thing. What are they going to do? Are they going to go high? Are they going to go in the draft? Are they going to get a free agent? Or do they believe in Desmond Ridder? They don't know. He's very inconsistent. He's got a big arm. He comes up with some big throws, but he also turns it over. Ridder, third round pick, cap for 2024 for Desmond Ridder. It's only $1.24 million. So he's very affordable. I believe that he'll be back, but again, will he be the starter? So it's a big game for him. All right, the Falcons, what are they going to bring? What are they going to bring on offense? They're going to bring a rushing attack. They're going to run it. They're sixth in the NFL. Their high pick, Bijan Robinson, he's now coming on, eighth in the NFL in rushing, 756 yards. They use pre-snap movement, various personnel groupings that they bring in. They do a nice job with the run game. Falcons wide receiver unit led by Drake London. Drake London is Ridder's favorite target. Ridder likes to go to Drake London, so watch out for him. He's big. He's 6'5". He's good. The Falcons defense, the difference between when the Buccaneers played him, and even Baker Mayfield said this, and now they don't have Grady Jarrett. All right, he had the torn ACL. I think that was since week 8. He went out. So since he's gone, the Falcons defense has been allowing more passing, more rushing yards. However, it's weird, even since Grady Jarrett has gone out, they're getting to the quarterback more. They had 1.9 sacks per game with Grady Jarrett. Now they're at 2.6 sacks per game. And why is that? Well, head coach Arthur Smith said this week he believes they're getting in sync, and that's why they're just getting better and better. Their D-line, Onyemata, 3.5 sacks, 45 tackles, out. So that is huge for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Falcons in the back end, they're pretty banged up. They're injured. They're nowhere near. Nobody's near 100%, but they're not even close to that. Safety Jesse Bates is a stud. Week 12, big game against the Saints. He had the 92-yard pick six off of Derek Carr. He's got five interceptions this season, 92 combined tackles. Jesse Bates, he's a load. He's good. Let's see. Falcons defense has not allowed a touchdown in the last nine quarters. How about that? Do you know that is the longest active streak in the NFL? The Falcons defense. All right. Now, the Buccaneers defense last week. Look, Carolina is so bad. Oh, my God, are they bad. But the Buccaneers defense held the Panthers to just 282 yards of offense. They're 4-0, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when they hold an opponent to fewer than 300 yards of offense. The Bucs held the Carolina Panthers last week to 149 yards passing. That's because they were getting to the quarterback. They were throwing him off his rhythm. The Buccaneers held Carolina to they were 3-for-15 on third downs. And they held Bryce Young to his season low 48% completion rate, 15 for 30, no touchdowns, one interception. Look, the Buccaneers defense needed that. They needed that. Carlton Davis is starting to come on now, which is good to see. You know, I knew he wasn't that bad. And ever since he had that horrific game and he actually, you know, he admitted it, you know, I think that was pretty good. But if you're wondering about, honestly, seriously, the playoff scenario with this team, but if you want to know, if the Falcons win this game, they will go two games up on the Bucs with the tiebreaker. So basically, the Buccaneers would need three more wins than the Falcons in the last 4 weeks of the regular season. The chances, I mean, that's it. All right, I have a little segment also that I do called What Are They Saying? Ryan Neal was my top saying this week. We lose, we're done. We lose, we're done. That hit me. Because, you know, I'm used to going in there sometimes on Monday, but every Wednesday, every Thursday. And, you know, I got into my little pattern and how I drive there and where I go. And then I come out to my car and then I hear the crowd noise that they're playing, which I don't think does squat. But anyway, and it hit me like, wow, it's going to be, that's it. Wow, this season has gone by so stinking fast. But then there's going to be a lot of talk and a lot of chatter and who's going to be gone and what's going to go. And you know what I'm saying? So we'll keep it going, win or lose this week. Todd Bowles, when he was asked about Atlanta, what's the deal with the Falcons now? He said they're playing like a top five defense in the league right now. Defensively, we gave up a two-minute drive at the end. Offensively, I thought they stalled us pretty well. No, that was a bad game. Stopping the run. Bolts was asked about stopping the run because, you know, Bijan Robinson and what they're bringing with their ground attack. And here's Bolts. If you try too much in the run game, they're going to burn you in the passing game. And then what about Bijan Robinson? Bolts actually laughed. He goes, we can stop him full time if he doesn't play. So at least with all this uncertainty with Bowles, he does have a sense of humor. Mayfield on Godwin. How come he's not getting catches? How come he's not being targeted? Although if you look at the number two receivers, go down the list. Evans is one, Godwin is two. Canales brought this up, and I looked at the numbers. He is pretty much ahead of a lot of number twos when it comes to targets. Seriously, yeah. And actually, he is on pace for over 1,000 yards. I had it somewhere, so... But whatever, let me continue. Baker Mayfield on Godwin. Here's Mayfield. There have been opportunities there, but some of the coverages have just dictated where the ball is going. Obviously, we tried to get him involved early, and then the rain kind of made it hard for us just based on a normal game plan, if that was what we have called. And it was. And actually, when it kind of slipped out of his hand for that pass, I know when he threw that interception, it was like, oh, and all the trash supporters, oh, my God. Even Sage, big Trask supporter now. I just bust the other Joe Lee when I see him about that, just to get his blood going a little bit. All right, what they're saying on the Falcons side, Arthur Smith. This was after the win over the Jets. That game was bad. Here's Arthur Smith. Sometimes it can get ugly, and then it's about how you adjust. At the end of the day, you just find a way to win. Edge rusher, Bud Dupree. Each of these games is a playoff game for us. We want to make sure that the arrow is pointing up. You don't want to be one of those teams late in the season with the arrow going down. Ours is going up. We showed that. That's one that kind of stuck with me this week. I saw that earlier in the week, and I'm like, Atlanta, they're going for 3 in a row. Okay? Their arrow is pointing up. Where's the arrow for the Bucks? Is it really pointing upward? I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't. Even though they had to get that win. I saw Bowles in the hallway where he drives his car. His car is parked there. It's called a hallway. It's pretty big. The bowels of Raymond James Stadium. And so when I came out of the locker room, he was out. He's got this shorter man in the suit. He's an assist, like his right-hand man is always there with him. And he was getting congratulations. He was getting some hugs. And I looked at him and I said, congratulations, Todd. And he said, thank you very much. It was just he and I. And you could see just like the relief. He knows the deal. He's been around a long time. Had they lost that game, even who knows if even if they lose this game, like you could feel it. And he probably enjoyed that for that night. And then that was it. But is the arrow pointing up or is the arrow pointing down for the Buccaneers? You tell me, huh? Arthur Smith on the defense. We have a big physical defensive line and they're playing very well together. They are. And one more quote getting back to the Bucs, Antoine Winfield Jr. I thought this was good. He was asked this week, what's it like to make that play at the end of the game to win the game for your team? And you know what Winfield Jr. said? He said, I put myself in that scenario even after practice when I'm doing ball drills. I'm thinking, we're down such and such. If I make this interception, we win the game. I run that scenario in my head a lot. That's why Antoine Winfield should be a Pro Bowler this year. That's why Rondé Barber is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton because of stuff like that. Going out on that practice field, and no matter if you're in a losing streak, whatever, you're injured, you're playing it out in your mind. You're doing like I'm gonna make this interception, you know, visualization, things like that. Film study. I thought that was a good quote of what they're saying from Antoine Winfield. I wonder how many other guys are actually doing that on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, guys. I mean, this is it. Get your Brumosas. Get your Big Storm Brewing beers. You may need more than one or two or three. And enjoy it. It's still NFL season. This has been another edition of Bucks Kickoff Podcast on the biggest, baddest, best website in the world for Buccaneer news and information, joebucksfan.com. I'll still be over at One Buck, still giving you the dirty and the inside. Let's try to enjoy it, guys.